you for downloading this message from Our Father's House.
If you have your Bible, turn to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. And let me just say, too, we are just so excited for you guys to come up on the 12th. Excited to have Blake come up. I want you to know you need to bring your A game. We've got a lot of kids that's coming there that don't know the Lord. And we're going to have Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostal, and whatever I am, I'm going to be there. But we God's doing something there, man. We've got multiple churches that just said, you know what, we're not going to have youth at our church. We're just going to have youth there together. So we're having, on a regular basis, a couple Baptist churches and then us, whatever we are, come together. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what I am. I'm just saved. That's all I know. I'm just saved. Jesus got a hold of me. And I've never been the same. I'm just saved. I don't know what I am. Just people say, what flavor are you? What are you? Well, I'm just a Christian. I don't know what else to say about that. But I've learned one thing, though. It is better to work together. Man, Ken, is it not? It is so much better to work together. We get so much more done, and God gets so much more glory, and so much more happens, and our community is so much better off because we work together. I do it on purpose. I do it on purpose. When God speaks to our heart about something, the first thing I say is, who can I find that will work with me on this that don't go to my church? And man, it's awesome. And God's doing something. So you guys come. We're going to open a coffee shop after we're done. We're going to serve everybody. And we're going to hang out and have some fellowship and eat and drink and just have a good time. Amen. So come, bring your A game. Just don't even eat between now and the 12th. Everybody. Just don't even eat. Just fast between now and then. I don't know. You might need to eat. You ain't got much weight to lose. You might just fast every other day. There we go. All right, Habakkuk chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. All right, he says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Now notice what he says here in verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. So I want to speak on a life of faith tonight. Amen. So if you would pray for me, and let's just ask God to bless his word. Father, we just ask you to anoint your word tonight. Anoint me that I could speak it. God, I want to be understood more than I want to be eloquent, God. Just help us understand what you're saying to us. And Father, we ask it all in the name of Jesus. And everybody says amen. I find it interesting that right after the Lord spoke, right after he talked about tarrying, he said, but the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith when the vision tarries. See, you have to use your faith while you wait. You see, and I thought that was odd when God put that in there like that, because there are so many times in your life as a Christian, listen, we've got to learn to have faith when God isn't speaking to us. We've got to learn, especially in the Pentecostal church, that we can't live on hype and emotion and feeling. And I love worship. Listen, I worship. I was out in my yard the other day mowing grass, got off the lawnmower, walked around with headphones in my ears. I can't sing either. I'm singing my guts out. And my neighbors are I know they think I'm weird, but I don't care. You know, I just love the Lord. I'm walking around in the yard worshiping God with my hands up. The neighbor's horses are looking at me, man, and I'm just worshiping. But listen, there's going to be times that you feel like that you can't feel God, that you don't know where God is. Everything in your life is just a dumpster fire. It's a train wreck. And that's at those times in your life while you're waiting Even though you wrote it down, what God's spoken to you, there's going to be a time of waiting that you've got to use your faith. Amen? And let me tell you something. Now more than ever before in your life, you are going to have to learn to live on faith. We are coming upon times that this world has never seen in our life. We truly are living in the last days. We are. Now, you can try to put your head in the sand and ignore it or whatever you want. It's coming, whether you're ready or not. And you're going to have to learn to wait upon the Lord and exercise your faith. But the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Well, who are the just? It's those that are just and lawful and righteous before God. Those that are just and right in their cause, as justified and vindicated by God by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Those that are right and correct and lawful before God. Those are the ones that have to live by faith more than ever before in our lives. And let's look over in Luke chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. And I'm going to try to get through this as quick as I can without, you know, without rushing. But a life of faith. Listen, young folks, if you want God to use your life greatly, if you want to make a mark with your life, you've got to learn to live a life of faith, okay? Information won't do it. Education won't do it. You've got to learn to walk by faith and live a life on faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You've got to learn to stand on God's word regardless of how you feel. You can't live on your emotions. You can't live on how you feel, because there's going to be days that your emotions are all over the map. There's going to be days that you don't feel like doing anything, especially teenagers. You're nothing but emotion. My 13-year-old daughter has a nervous breakdown every day. Every day. Everything is the end of the world. Everything is the end of the world. Amen. All parents here of teenagers said, amen. Amen. It's the truth. I'm thinking, I told my wife, I think she's going through menopause and puberty at the same time. There's stuff ricocheting off the walls in the house. I said, I don't know whether to do an exorcism. I don't know what to do. I said, just bring the oil and a poncho. We're just going to pray until something comes out. I don't know what else to do at this point. But if you're living on your emotions, God help you. There's days that I'm in my 40s. I think I've went through my midlife crisis already. I'm still in it. I don't know. There's days I'm an emotional wreck. I cried watching a McDonald's commercial a while back. I did. Have you seen it? It's an older commercial. The kid's reading a book, and you don't know in the commercial. They pull you in with it. They're good. The kid's reading a book, and he goes to McDonald's because he read his book, and his mom wants to treat him, and come to find out he's blind. I lost it. Lost it. I mean, I lost it. So if you're living on emotions, your life is going to be in disarray. Amen? Your life is going to be chaos and out of order. So we've got to learn to know what God's saying to us. And let me tell you where God's going to speak to you. It's right here. This is the first Bible I ever had. P.K. Sater bought me this Bible. A Bible salesman came to her door. When's the last time you've seen a Bible salesman going door to door? I love this. I slept with this Bible. I carried this Bible everywhere I went. I had it in a case for years. I haven't carried it in years. It's highlighted. It's wrote in. I go back now and I highlighted stuff. To now, it don't even make sense. But at the time, it really meant something to me. Listen, young people, if you want to know God's will for your life, get your nose in this book. Amen? Quit running around wanting everybody to lay their hands on you and say something over you. Listen, if God's going to say something to you, he's going to say it right here. People so lazy. People have actually called me on the phone and asked me to prophesy to them before. Can you believe that? They say, you got a word for me? I say, yeah, pray. And I hang the phone up. Open the Bible. There's a revelation. There's a word for you. All right. Luke 17, 5 and 6. Are you there? All right. This is, y'all love me. I love you guys. I'm just me, okay? This is, Christ had done some things here. And then the disciples ask him in verse 5, I think it's peculiar here that the Bible calls them apostles. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Because they seen him do some things they weren't able to do. In verse 6, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou cast in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, they said, Lord, give us more faith. When the disciples or the apostles asked Jesus to give them more faith, he talked about the smallest seed in all, one of the smallest seed in all creation. It is millimeters small. Don't you think it's a little odd? Give us more of something. He said, well, if you had something this big, it's not the size of your faith that's important. It's what you do with it. That's what he's saying. Faith is like a muscle. You got to exercise it. It's like a seed in the sense that you've got to plant it in your heart. And you got to water it to make it grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the... That means you got to say it out loud. You got to walk around your house and speak it. You got to write it on stuff and stick it in your pocket. You got to stick it on the wall. Listen, you got to put it in the refrigerator. You got to say it 5,000 times a day, because it starts with right thinking, then right actions, and then right feelings. See, we want to feel right first. But if you want to be transformed, you got to renew your what? How do you renew your mind? By God's word. How do you do that? You got to speak it out loud. You got to say it when you don't even feel it. And I tell you what changed my life. I remember praying. I know I've told you guys, I've been here so much, I probably even preached this sermon here. I don't know. I remember praying one day and reminding God things that people spoke over me in my life. And I'll never forget, Ken, it's those times in your life. There's some of those times in your life you go back and you remember when you really knew God spoke to you. And I remember God said, but Joe, what did I say about you? And what are you going to believe? I said, God, from this day forward, I choose to believe what you say about me. And I tell you what changed that day, not my circumstances, not how I felt, but how I seen myself. I begin to see myself how God seen me. And I begin to speak God's word over my life thousands of times a day. Literally thousands of times a day. When something went wrong, I praised him anyway. I said, I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed in the city and the field. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. I would open Psalms 1 in this Bible, and I would put my name in it. Blessed is Joe that doesn't stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, but Joe's delight is in the law of the Lord. And let me tell you something. I did that for over a year. And finally, one day in Pensacola, Florida, God broke that generational curse off my life. See, I no longer was just saying it. I was everything that God said I was. And not only was I that, I believed I was that. I believed I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believed I really was a child of the Most High God, that I could do anything and nothing could stop me, and that I deserved what God did in my life. You see, you will never receive more than you think you deserve. That's why the enemy wants you to feel all defeated. That's why, young people, we go through self-esteem problems, especially this generation, dealing with rejection and abandonment. We got kids that nobody wants. Their mom and dad don't want them. They've been given away. They're living here and living there. Nobody wants them, and they come into our churches, Ken, and they're eat up with rejection and abandonment. And I know what that feels like, and so do some of you kids. But let me tell you how you overcome that. You get in here, and you start by faith believing that you are who God says you are, and start acting like it. Stick your chest out and you raise your head up and say, I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. Because we're living a lie if we're not living that way.
because God has given us all these exceeding precious promises, and we're walking around with our head down like we are nobody and we're nothing and can't accomplish anything, when Jesus Christ gave his life so that you could live a victorious life. Man, anybody getting this? Listen, I spent a lot of my adult life after becoming a Christian feeling defeated and feeling like I couldn't do enough and I couldn't fast enough, I couldn't pray enough, I couldn't read enough chapters for years. And I'm not saying this bragging. For years, I fasted three or more days a week for years. For years, trying to earn God's blessing on my life. And when you sin, you try to make it up with sacrifice. So I remember thinking if fasting is good, and I remember I wasn't saved long. I fasted. I didn't know you could drink water when you fasted. I wish somebody would have told me that. Thanks, Curtis. You ever went a week without drinking anything? Man, I wouldn't even chew gum or a mint or anything. My breath alone was horrible. I mean, somebody, why don't we talk to people in the church? Why people get saved, can't we not just tell them, eat a Tic Tac? You can drink water when you fast. Can we not do that? Why do I have to die and kill myself? Why ain't we talking to people in the church? Amen? Why didn't somebody tell me, Joe, you don't have to fast on your birthday and Christmas and Thanksgiving to earn God's approval? By myself up in a holler somewhere, sitting in the car, crying with that rejection, that abandonment on me, and saying, God, do you see me? Here I am, Lord. Here I am, God. Bless me. Bless me. Do this and that in my life. And that's so unnecessary. Amen. That's why I have a heart for people like that. Man, guys, you are valuable to God. I don't care what anybody said about you. I don't care what your parents' dysfunction has got nothing to do with you. Amen. It's their loss. You know, you're a treasure to be. And listen, if you don't begin to see yourself that way, don't expect anybody else to. Amen. Romans 1, 16 to 17, I'll read it real quick. For Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and it is written, the just shall live by faith. I just want to read it from the New Living, if that's okay. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. So how do you become righteous? How do you earn righteousness, or how do you achieve righteousness? How do you do it like I did and fast on your birthday or Christmas? No, the Bible says you do it by faith. What does that mean? Jesus said I was righteous and I took upon his righteousness. So that makes me righteous, whether I feel it or not, whether I feel like I deserve it or not. That's who he said I am. So that's who I am. The feelings will come. Amen? Right thinking, right actions, then right feelings. Get your mind right. Renew your mind by the word of God and then start acting right. Start acting like you are the righteousness of Christ. Start acting like more than a conqueror. Start acting like you deserve to be where God puts you. Don't look around and say, I don't deserve this. Say, God, thank you that you had favor on me. And listen, the feelings will come. But if you're walking by feelings, you got it all backwards.
The feelings will come, but they're last to come. Amen? Amen. Real religion involves both meeting God in the secret place and meeting man in the marketplace. Having an intimate relationship with God will strengthen your faith and give you the love it takes to meet with men in the marketplace. If you want to build your faith, spend time with God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in His Word. When you read something in His Word, accept it for what it is at face value. It is often said that a great teacher who could really expound and interpret Scripture and could explain and resolve difficulties was regularly known as an uprooter or even a pulverizer of mountains. To tear up, to uproot, to pulverize mountains were all phrases for removing difficulties. It's what Jesus said. You could uproot a tree. You could tear down a mountain if you just had faith. For you to be a mover of mountains, you have to know who you are in God and who God is in you. And most importantly, you have to believe His Word above all else. God did not write this word for just special people. God did not write this word just for pastors. This word in here says that you're more than a conqueror. That's not just for me. That's for everybody that whosoever will let them come. Listen, that's for you if you're 5 years old or 50. That's for this baby over there that's actually a happy baby because it's on his bib. It's for everybody here. It's not just for special, super spiritual people in the church. Amen? Amen. If you have faith enough, all difficulties can be resolved. It doesn't matter what it is. There is no sickness, no disease, no obstacle, no problem, no predicament that you can get in that faith in God can't get you out of. Absolutely nothing. Faith in God is the instrument which enables men to remove the hills that block their path. There is absolutely nothing that you can accomplish. And the world say if you put your mind to it. Listen, it don't matter what you put your mind to. What do you put your faith to? If you put your faith to it, you can do it. Amen? Listen, I've just come to believe in my life I can do anything that God puts in my heart to do. I can start a business. I can do anything that God wants me to do. I can heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast them. Whatever it is that God puts in front, I don't care that it's never been done. I don't care that you tell me I can't do it because I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to what my Father said, and He already said I can do it. So stop wasting my time and help me. Because you can't talk me out of it, Justin. It's too late, guys. I already read the book. He's already done too much for me. You weren't there when He saved me. I'm sorry. You can't talk me out of this. Gosh, I'm about to get excited. Man, I see God do so many things. I've seen so many specific answers to my prayers, Wanda, that I can't help it. If God tells me to put a coffee shop in a hardware building, I'm going to do it. Stop trying to talk me out of it. I'm going to do it one way or the other. It's going to get done because I got faith enough. Don't tell me I can't get 20 to 50 churches to help me do a soccer program and that it's never been done and you can't mix God in sports. He done told me to do it, so stop wasting my time and help me.
Well, you can't do that. Well,
no, I can't, but He can. Amen.
Was it my papa used to say, can't, never could do nothing?
That's like four double negatives in there or something. I don't know what that even is. That's hillbilly talk for miracles come in cans. Amen? I can do all things. I can be what He wants me to be. I love what Smith Wigglesworth said. If you've never read any Smith's life or studied his life, I would encourage you to. I read a book of his biography, and I couldn't sleep for 2 weeks. Smith Wigglesworth was a great man of faith. He said, great faith is the product of great fights. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests. And great triumphs can only come out of great trials. And I love what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Faith is a fight. That's all it is. It's a fight between what God says and what the enemy is going to say to you. It's a fight with your emotions. It's a fight with negative people. It's a fight with everything in you. It's a fight with your past. It's a fight with your future. It's a fight with everything in you that says you don't deserve it and you can't do it. And nobody's ever done it that way before. It's a fight. And let me ask you something. Do you have any fight in you tonight? Three of you do. What about the rest of you? Have you got any fight? Is there anything in your life worth fighting for? Listen, if they're not, pick a fight with something. Just go out and pick a fight with something. If you don't have anything to fight for, look around and find something that needs somebody to fight for. Find a family that needs somebody to fight for them. Amen. Find somebody that needs a miracle and fight for them with your faith. Amen. Maybe everything's perfect in your world, but it's not in everybody else's. Just pick a fight. Go pick a fight with the devil. Amen. Use your faith. If it don't require faith, it's not God. Amen. We've got programs. We've got everything in the world, in the church. We got lights. We got buildings. We got all this stuff. But where's your faith? We've got to get past the point. We still think in the American church, someday the pastor's going to get up and preach so awesome that people's just going to lose their minds and the world's going to turn around. It's not going to happen. If it was going to happen, it would have already happened. You can't preach enough, good enough, sing good enough. You're going to have to walk this out by faith. From faith to faith and glory to glory, the just shall live. Won't you start living by, won't you let people see your faith? You're living just like they are. The world's in a mess. You're freaking out right with them. What are we going to do? I don't know. Well, ain't you a Christian? Yeah. Give me one of your nerve pills. Right? Come on now. Listen, the world, let me tell you something, guys. This world is getting ready to get in a mess, and guess what's going to happen? They're watching you. And they're watching me. Are you going to be walking into Walmart, wringing your hands and freaking out? Or are you going to be standing up and say, hey, I know a man that can help us all out in this situation, that made it rain manna in the wilderness, amen, that made water come out of a rock. Come and see this man. Amen. Come on, man. They're watching us. Let's walk this thing out. Let's get a challenge. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. We've had it too easy anyway. It's about time it gets hard. Yeah. We're going to find out what you made out of real quick. Months, not years. I'm telling you, quick. We're going to find out who's got it and who don't. We're going to find out who's walking by faith and who's walking by feelings. We're going to find out who the wheat and the tares are in the church. Amen. We're going to find out who the Grecian widows are when they don't start getting their mashed potatoes and they start freaking out. Jude 1:3, and I'm almost done. I'm going to try to be done at 8:30. What's y'all's clock say? All right, let's do it. Will you come up here and help me out here? I'll have to take a bathroom break in a few minutes. Jude 1:3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend, to struggle for. That's what that word contend means. To struggle for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Let me tell you something. The saints in the word, the faith that was delivered to them, came out of great struggle. Have you ever noticed throughout the world, wherever there is persecution, there is always revival? Have you ever noticed you are closest to God when you are in trouble? Have you ever noticed the greatest motivator in your life to pray has always been your old buddy trouble? Nothing will make you walk right. Nothing will make you talk right. Nothing will make you pray and worship like trouble. You've got to struggle for the faith, because faith is a fight.
You've got to struggle for the things and the promises of God. Listen, God's given you a promise in His Word. Maybe in your private time, in your prayer time, God has given your family a precious promise. And you've held that deep in your heart and you've cherished it. Let me tell you something. Have you fought for it? Have you struggled for it? Have you paced the floor and said, I refuse to accept no for an answer. I will not be defeated. And though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Have you done that? Have you pulled your hair and screamed and cried when you thought you was having a nervous breakdown and held the Word of Him and said, but God, You said right here, I got it underlined. You told me in Your Word that You give me a sound mind and I won't accept anything less but that. I will not give up. I will not quit until you have what I'm praying for. Because what does the Bible say faith is? What is it? Substance and evidence. Substance. Substance. That means I believe until I can touch it, smell it, see it, feel it with my senses. I've got substance. I've got evidence. I can make a case. I can prove that I've got what I prayed for. When you go to trial, they present evidence to prove your guilt or your innocence. Faith is like that. It is evidence of what you've been hoping for. It is substance of what you've been praying for. That means I don't stop till I have what it is that God wants me to have. It may be 2 days, 2 months, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years. It may be on my deathbed, but it's coming, and I will not give up till I can touch it, taste it, smell it, see it, and put it on trial as evidence. That's what faith is. So if you haven't received yet what it is you're hoping for, then you got to just keep struggling with your faith. Fight it out. Don't take no for an answer. Do you know that is actually one of the definitions of faith? To not take no for an answer. All right, I'm almost done. Faith means total acceptance and absolute trust. It means betting your life that there is a God. It means being utterly sure that what Jesus said is true and staking all time and eternity on that assurance. And I love what one author said. He said, I believe in God, and if I woke up in hell, I would still believe in Him. Amen. That's how much I believe and trust in God. Let me give you three stages of faith. Why three? Because preachers always give you three. I don't know. Three stages of faith. First one, receptivity. This is when a man is at least willing to listen to the message of truth. You're receptive, you'll listen to it. But number two is the mental assent. He hears and agrees that it's true, but many a man knows very well that something is true, but does not change his actions to meet that knowledge. I could go out here under the bridge and drag somebody out with a needle on their arm, and I could say, hey, you believe God can set you free? Yeah, God can do anything. But they're still living bound. They're still living defeated, and they're still addicted. So we've got to get past that to total surrender, which is the third one. In full-fledged faith, a man hears a Christian message, agrees that it's true, and then he casts himself in a life of total yieldedness to it. Don't tell me what you know. Don't tell me what you believe. What are your convictions? We got to go beyond belief to convictions. Well, I believe God can do anything. Well, are you willing to stake your life on it? Are you willing to walk it out? Are you willing to hold God to His Word like Moses did? Moses said, no, wait a minute, God. You told me this. You can't do that. Have you ever prayed those prayers? Have you ever just took God at His Word in total surrender and would not accept anything less than what He said for you? Amen. And come to music. I'm done. I can have a closing song here. Let me just ask you today, are you ready to live a life of faith? A life in total yieldedness to God? A life surrendered to Him and walking this thing out? Because, guys, do we honestly, here's what some people think. Well, God spoke to me to do something, and they start to do it, and then what happens?
What always happens? What always happens? Paul said, "I go to, I find the law and I go to do good. What's always present with me? Evil. But what do? Well, I thought God wanted me to do that." And everybody's coming against me. They're talking about me. I must have missed God. No. You should wear that as a badge of honor. Come on. We can't handle people talking about us. Come on, guys. We're going to change the world, but just don't talk about us. Because we'll get upset and get our feelings hurt. Don't lie on me. Man, I wear that as a badge of honor. Now I find out somebody talking about, ooh, God, really, what was it? Really? That's awesome. Some of that might be true. Rest of it, no. Right? Why? Peter said, when you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Now, if you're suffering as an evildoer, Peter said, it's a totally different situation. But if you're suffering for righteousness' sake, jump up and down. Dance a jig. Twirl around in your living room. Amen? Amen. Shout. Be happy about that. Because you're doing what God wants you to do. And if everybody will, let's stand. We'll try to get you out of here.
More information about Our Father's House or upcoming events, please log on to www.ourfathershouseky.org.